Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness. Live from the sun and fun capital of the world again, where the beaches are open and the traffic's backed up. This is Dr. John from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So glad to be here as my world is waking up. We're pop culture stars for another rousing evening of controversy. There's nothing like controversy except more controversy. So we're going to have lots of it tonight. So I would like to introduce my stalwart co-hosts who are always fun to hang out with and talk to. They're also friends, so they're not really co-hosts to me. They're just buddies. So first of all, from Jacksonville, North Carolina, the home of Camp Lejeune and lots of cool stuff, especially strip clubs and bars and whatever else is it, Dave? This is Dave Apple. How you doing?
Hey, what is going on? Good evening. Hello and salutations. What is happening, everybody?
Oh, we're going to fill you in. Tonight is the night of controversy, so that's always fun. It's always controversial to have you here, Dave, so what else can I say?
I would imagine you.
That's exactly right. You are the man with the hunger. And so anyway, and we've got from Studio I in Indianapolis, Indiana. God, I can't talk and I'm sober. That's what my friend and brother said in college. When I'd get in the car after some drinks, they said I could drive great, but I was sober. They were scared to get death to ride with me. Here he is from Studio I, Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I am doing outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. And amazingly enough, up here in the northern part of the country, the last vestiges of daylight are out there dying. Still just a touch of light in the sky there on the western horizon. It's beautiful. We're getting to the summer a little bit. It would be nice. Imagine this. I'm going to start fussing about the weather. If we could at least be maintaining the monthly temperature average thing that we're supposed to be having going on here. We did have a gorgeous day yesterday, though. Broke out 75 by the time I was done with work. Just went out, sat on the porch, stooped for a little while, and it was kind of nice. I hope everybody else is doing well. Dr. John, you always go ask us how we're doing. How the hell are you doing?
Oh, it's been an interesting day. I have moved away from the world of Apple. I am now back to the, thank goodness, the Android, which I like a lot because I know how to handle that very well. Can't do anything with an Apple. All you can do is wish you could eat it. Tastes terrible. Get all that metal in your teeth. But let's see.
How did that work out? Hey there. How'd that work out for Adam and Eve?
Pardon me?
Okay.
Well, I don't really care what they think. I don't. But anyway, it was a little difficult. Even the iPhone guru was having a problem. He's my buddy. He lives next door. So even he was having a little bit of a problem getting all this to work out. Apple does everything they can to make life miserable because they think they need to control you because you're too dumb to be able to do anything. And so thank goodness I'm away from that gig. Number one, I'm glad I'm away from that. Number two, the beaches are open in Myrtle Beach, and City Council is meeting tomorrow morning at 9:30 about just opening everything else. So I'm sorry, at 10:30 tomorrow, so I will be glued to Facebook Live from the City of Myrtle Beach to see what they decide we're going to do. Because we elected them to represent us, and so we'll see what they're going to do. It'll be interesting. A lot of us are going to be sitting there listening to that broadcast. Everybody's off pretty much, but I think they're going to open the city completely because they said, I have heard that they have said, well, we don't care what the governor says. Frankly, the governor's not going to get paid unless we open Myrtle Beach because Myrtle Beach contributes 70% of all the sales tax revenue to the state of South Carolina. And if we don't open Myrtle Beach, well, you know what? Politicians aren't going to get paid.
Well, look, I'm going to have you do something, Dr. John.
Do
I want
it.
You to
Tell
retweet.
Me.
I want you to repeat that percentage, please, because, and explain it, because you're, well, let's start with this. Those, the residents of the greater Myrtle Beach area are how many?
We have 61,000 as of the last census estimates. 61,000 people live in Myrtle Beach and the environs, which is North Myrtle Beach, Myrtle Beach, Surfside Beach, and Little River. However, we have about 16 million visitors a year. I mean, it's like the number of people that live in Myrtle Beach is like a 0% of the entire number of people that come here. So, you know, when you contribute 70% of all the sales tax revenue, some people in our beautiful capital of Columbia, South Carolina, will start to get worried because they're not bringing any money in. And
I'm going to have you repeat that percentage now. So 60,000 in the state of
60,000 people. No, 60,000
right,
people
live in the area.
Live in Myrtle Beach. Live in Myrtle Beach and Ouray County, and 70% of all sales tax revenue in this state comes from Ouray County, from our county, which is primarily Myrtle Beach. Amazing.
70% of the state's sales tax. That's an amazing thing. The for those that have been there during the season, you know there's just a ton of stuff going on. And there's we got the boardwalk. There's they kind of have those different breakdowns of it for the tourists. Got
there's a boardwalk. Then we have Broadway at the beach.
There we go.
We have all of the golf courses, about 75 of them. All the restaurants. My goodness, there are more restaurants than you would ever believe. And the T-shirt sundry and surf shops. There's one on every block. So what I can tell you is Myrtle Beach is just full of things that tourists love. And if we can't get them in, I mean, that has to be the reason they're saying, let's go for it. But then a large number of other states are saying, let's do this. The governors can say what they want, but they're not going to be able to send enough National Guard in to stop what's going to happen. And if they have a lot of pushback like they do in Michigan or some other states, it just goes to show that the governor is out of touch with what the people want. It's what the people want, not what the government, not what the governor thinks they need to have. You know, the governor may be correct that they need more isolation, but the people are the people, and the people need to do what the people want to do. That's what has made this nation great. Is that correct, Dave Atwell? It's the people.
Well, you know, take it from the other side of that argument, and not that without going into a political bias on it, I, you know, now that I'm working part-time at a grocery store, I'm telling you, I have been taken aback at the amount of complacency, foolishness, and everything else. And all along, I've been that guy that said, hey, we don't need to overreact to this. We need to, you know, don't panic. But I have always said, follow the rules, don't panic. But it's amazing me how many people out there are so complacent to this thing. You still see people, you know, they've been telling them, you know, shop, make one big stop, don't go into stores if you don't have to. You see the same people in the building once, twice a day. They talk about the age demographic, that if you're on 70 or above, man, these folks I've never seen old folks this active. You got entire families coming in, pushing strollers. And I'm going, okay, you got mom and dad, mom pushes the cart, got two kids in the cart, and dad pushes the stroller with an infant in the stroller, and they're all just cruising through the damn grocery store. And you got some guy that fought in Gettysburg over there hacking and wheezing, and they just stand right there next to him. And my point is yes, we need to get things open back up as soon as we can, because we cannot survive as a communist state for long. We just
we're not built for it, are we?
Right, we're not set up for it. We have to be able to move about the cabin, okay? But on the flip side, I also understand the cautious side of it coming out of the powers that be, because these people aren't heeding to any of it. And I guess what my concern is these government officials are going to feel pressured into prematurely opening things back up. And come June, we're going to have a second wave of this stuff. And we're going to be right back to where we were 8 weeks ago. And to be honest with you, I'm not looking to go through this shit again. I have one trip on this roller coaster has been enough for me. I barfed all over the place, and I don't want to get on it no more.
Dave, let me kibitz on that, on their decisions. Like, if we're, I think right now the government officials are more in a damned if you do, damned if you don't spot, right? Because they we'll use Myrtle Beach reference here, you know, income, stuff like that, state monies, the whole kit caboodle, all the causal effect things that are going on. But I can't for a moment imagine one of those government officials, as much as they love to protect their jobs, be like, I'll be damned if I'm going to be the first one that's going to let my people loose and then have that stuff backfire on me.
Yeah, I don't know. I've lost a lot of faith in my fellow Americans when it comes down to their good old fashioned ability to just follow simple instructions. But I would, and the example I used today when I was speaking to a friend of mine, I says, you know, a guy breaks into your house and you shoot him, bang, and he falls down. On the movies, he's dead, okay? But in real life, you know, Todd, you've been in the combat zone. You know it doesn't take but just one bullet, you know? So what do? You walk over, bam, double tap. Now you know he's dead. You see what I'm saying? And with this right now, you know, here in North Carolina, it's a little different. Perhaps Myrtle Beach could be deemed a little different too. But if you look in places like New York where they haven't done anything right, now we're going to turn back around and go right on back to where we were two months ago. And I don't know if that is the wisest idea. And I said this today too. I said, if there ever was a zombie apocalypse to happen, an honest to God, just like on the TV shows, 90% of Americans would die in the first week. Not because they can't run, but what they refuse to run. And I could just hear it now.
I guarantee it's because a half of those fat fuckers can't run.
Yeah, they'll be snarling and popping and reaching for the sky, and you're going to hear 9 out of 10 people go, man, I ain't running. I ain't running nowhere. They can't make me run. Man, I ain't running for nothing. Man, who does Trump think he is making somebody run? He got to be out of his mind. It just befuddles me how a lot of these folks, and you guys know me well enough, when I panic, you panic. And I have been not overly cautious, but I have been staying away from people. Hell, I've been trying to do that for years, and I can't get people off of me. But
hey, well, Dave, we've been trying to stay away from you, so there you go.
Yeah. How many times, and I'll throw some quick examples, how many times have you been at the store ringing up stuff, be it groceries or whatever, and you go to put your card in the little card reader machine, all right, and you happen to notice a change in lighting, and you glance to the left, and you've got somebody who you've never met in your entire life standing within 4 or 5 inches of you while you punch your PIN number into that machine. I know it's happened to you, it's happened to me, it's happened to all of us, okay? You know, I didn't want people doing that back then. So now, here we are, where somebody could potentially have a virus and everything, and if you ain't got the damn common courtesy, much less the common sense, to stand away, there's too many dumbasses out there, and I never realized how many dumbasses there were until this went down. And the amount of dumbassery that I've seen, petrified.
I love that phrase, the amount of dumbassery.
there are, you know, that I've long, you know, I try to, as long as I don't have to pick up any of the bulk goods or whatever, I will often as possible, I will leave my cart between me and the dumbasses behind me as much as possible anymore, because they can't even follow the damn little spacing markers that are set up there.
Yeah.
It boggles the mind. It boggles the mind. But, you know, I don't know, and you'd think that they would be all over those damn little spacing markers, because they sure like to use the damn stripes in the road for the center of their vehicle.
Well, that's true. It really is. I mean, you know, you both got a point. But I like dumbassery the best. That's the best new phrase. Anyway.
I got to, you know, it's only us two. I just want to throw out pops to one of our co-hosts. So I posted the other day where I made some Korean-flavored flavor profile beef jerky. Our damn girl, the Queen of Sparkle, none other than Liz Allred Brackett, goes ahead and posts, "What are you doing, making jerky out of squirrels?" And I'm like, seriously, you know, run with the post, you know, go ahead, have fun with it, that kind of stuff. A buddy of mine chimes in on stuff, one of my workmates, and a handful of workmates I have on social media. But, yeah, old girl accusing me of making squirrel jerky. So we're in a freaking teleconference earlier today. I won't mention organizationally whom they are, but all of it is higher headquarters above us. And what's my boy do towards the end of the conference? He brings up the stinking squirrel jerky.
And
boy, am I getting my boy. I'll give him props on this. Great French. In fact, why I'm giving him props on the air, he brought up the damn squirrel jerky because he's the one that followed up on Liz's post yesterday. But a couple things to throw out here. Greg, he's one of those great people that I work with. He's the kind of guy that says, because he knows where I live, that, you know, tell the wife, you know, you really got to, if you're going to order something to send something, you got to make sure it's on a day off so that I can be here so the package don't get lifted. Shit like that. He's the kind of person that's, just have them send it to my house. We park on the same floor in the parking garage when we normally work. Just, you know, get it from me there. So that's, you know, tell you what kind of good people he is. So I want everybody to send some thoughts, prayers, and good karma to his mom. She's going through some medical things. No corona, but it's all, you're not getting any younger, and, you know, it's heart, stuff like that. So we'll send some love out that way. And, I'll bring up little baby Zeke. We talked about him a few weeks ago. The young one just been born, had the heart surgery already, all that stuff. He's been throwing up a lot, but he went through the surgery of flying colors, stuff like that. So I wanted to throw that out there, and while we're going through all this stuff, have, some thoughts, prayers, good karma, because we all know people like that. I think we could probably all share stories at the moment. Got a lot more to throw out like that, but just, if we could get some love out their way, that would be awesome.
Sounds good, Todd. It really does. Now, are you talking, did you say Greg French? Is that the Greg French that we know from The Walking Dead?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's another one of those darn retired Marines.
Oh, well, that's all right. I was just checking. Didn't want to be giving, thinking about, well, which Greg French is that? So I just had to ask.
Oh, I'm with you.
So anyway, that's kind of what's cool. It sounds like we've all got the same take on coronavirus. We see it's dissipating. People are not always. So the mayor of New York got lots of prank pictures of non-social distancing. I think he got a picture of two armadillos in the same picture, and they certainly weren't 6 feet apart. So I think that's fun. That's fun stuff. I think it's great. Two armadillos. That's who they blamed coronavirus on until they realized it was a bat. It was
no,
Ellen.
But the armadillos are known for
Ellen.
Another one. I can't remember.
Nobody laughed at my joke.
I'm sorry. This armadillos. Let me see. There's some joke in there trying to play with the name Amorous and Armor. Armorous.
Oh.
I don't know.
I was joking about.
Play on the word dildo.
No, you heard that all the stuff has gone out about how Ellen DeGeneres is so mean to her crew and all this stuff, and I just thought it was kind of funny. As if who cares what Ellen thinks? I guess the people that care about what Ellen thinks, they don't have a job and they're watching Ellen at four. So, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Or should I?
Well, I've been kind of like that with some of these celebs where they're coming out going, Kelly Ripa did this tweet, post, whatever the hell you call it, and she was wearing her teenage daughter's clothes, all right, and talking about, I'm so going so crazy during the lockdown that I'm trying on my teenage daughter's clothes. Okay. First off, her teenage daughter is the size of a Buick. All right. So you can, it's not a fair comparison. All
you
right.
You mean Roseanne Barr?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the picture.
Actually,
she took,
I was thinking of Rosie O'Donnell.
Shows the vast amount of clothing that her daughter has to choose from. Okay. So when it was all said and done, I'm looking at this, and by Christ, I didn't read the article. It was just part of a side counter on something I was already reading. And I'm looking at the picture, and I'm going, okay, so what this is some rich celebrity who doesn't have a coloring book, who is so used to having people swoon over her and carry on about her that she hasn't had her fill of self-love by hearing people kissing her collective ass. So what she has to do is dress up in her children's clothes to get attention because she's a 50-year-old woman that could fit in teenagers' clothes. Look at me, look at me. And the whole time I'm going, you know what? Do you honestly think that single mom of three that waits tables at Logan's gives a shit about what you're doing right now in this quarantine? I mean, some of these celebs, the best thing they could have done is shut up. I mean, I've seen these celebrities going, oh, passing the time, don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit in my pool, I guess, to get outside. I'm going stir crazy. I'm going to sit in my pool. Yeah, your goddamn three Olympic-sized pools that you have. You know, I'm sure that's a raging pain in your ass. So, you know, a lot of these celebrities, I feel, have kind of made a mistake of getting on there. And I guess when you're out and away from things for so long, you have a tendency to forget. And I think that's where, you know, you were speaking of earlier about the politicians being out of touch. Sometimes I think if you get driven to work every day and then you lose your job and you get a job where you have to drive to work, you kind of forget what a pain in the ass it is to drive to work. You know what I mean? And for some of these celebs, you know, they're getting on their Twitter accounts and, oh, gosh, I'm so bored. I'm outside waxing my Ferrari. Yeah. You do that. I feel horrible for you.
Well, I need to see what the Ferrari looks like.
I'm going to go with this. One, I have to laugh because you knew the full story about Kelly Ripa's, and you were you said you were looking at part of it. The that's on you. I'm going to go with that, Dave. The I like how you know. If you follow a bunch of these people, I ain't saying there aren't some people I don't follow. Like I admit, I follow Rob Halford on Instagram. The
you're what? What did you say?
The vocalist from Judas Priest.
I know, but you said you follow him, and then you made a comment about yourself. Now, what was that?
I know I follow some, you know, I've got a few people I follow, so I went ahead and threw out, you know, that I follow Rob Halford on Instagram. He's live well. I would think that you, you know, I know that there's posts or whatever somebody will forward carry or whatever that so and so is doing out there. If they've never carried a positive message, I'll never follow them any frickin' way. Not unless they're just out damn funny. Bottom line is, though, these people, they're fucking lost. They don't have now that they can't go out somewhere, try to eat. And with, you know, and normally they have X number of paparazzi about them and stuff like they don't have that going on right now. I imagine their narcissistic little freaking low IQ cells who have no real sense of personal value unless they have somebody trying to pay attention to them. I imagine they're pretty damn lost.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, it's, hey, world, look at me. Look at me. You know, I haven't had my dose of unneeded attention at the studio. Look at me. Look at me. And... yeah, I don't know. I feel like some of these celebs have just, it just proves how far out they are.
I hate to say it, but that was pretty freaking clear in my mind a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
What happened? You were starting a story, interesting sounding story. So what happens next, Todd?
Oh, crap. What, with those people? I don't know. I think it's, I'm loving how, I guess because of all the places I'm at, I'm on pop culture stars. Probably the one that's, you know, least current in movies, stuff like that. I watched something, you know, I've been to the theater twice in the last decade. One because it was paid for, and one because I was up here and just bored off my ass, and I really needed a Godzilla fix.
Good deal.
That industry, those people, the people that do concerts, a lot of, you know, a lot of the band stuff, like, it's going to be interesting what's going to happen. It's going to be, I want to see how these stinking folks are going to, you know, it'll be interesting how they deal with it, how they, you know, these people that are used to making shit ton of money for a movie, now they're scheduled for a movie and can't do it. It'd be fun to see how they do, how they react. Because I don't know, unless I've seen something where they've contributed to their community, I'm not going to pay attention to them.
Okay.
I'm just really not. I admit I can be a dick that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of changed my view on a lot of throughout this whole little 2 month fiasco we've gone through. And, you know, if it hasn't done anything else, it's probably made me more, what's the word I'm looking for? More critical, I guess. And what I mean by that is, you know, China needs to get its stuff together, because it seems like here of late, everything that somehow or another is coming from China is turning into chaos. And I think for all this money that the United States is having to forward their businesses and their citizens to keep things afloat, I think they ought to take a damn bill of sale and send it to China. Or, better yet, say, okay, you know that $30 trillion that the United States owes you? It is now paid in full. And it's made me even cherish more about our borders and that kind of stuff, and how we have to watch what we're protecting and what it's worth protecting. It's just, I don't know. It just, some things don't seem that important anymore. And if it means being safe, then I'm willing to give up X, Y, and Z for the peace of mind, knowing that I'm safe. And take, for instance, like the TSA. I don't fly often, but the times that I have since 9/11 have been pretty damn uncomfortable, because I don't particularly dig taking off my footwear at an airport. I don't particularly,
you don't?
No. And I don't particularly care to have some scanner scanning my anatomy. I am not real particular about having some stranger patting me down. I'm not real
especially
big on
when they smile.
Hold on. I'm going to go with depends upon what they look like.
But it's a necessary sacrifice to know I can get on that plane safely and get to where I'm at. Because there haven't been any 9/11s since 9/11, and part of the reason is because of what we do at the airport now. Is it some freedom that we had to give up? Yes, it was. But does it make us safer? Yes, it does. So
I'm a little bit on that. I like the Israeli model for that stuff, just saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, if we can do it my way, we just wouldn't let their ilk in the country. And if you have a criminal background in your country of origin, you're already negated from citizenship. You cannot travel here. If you have some type of conviction in your native country, you stay right where you're at. You want to know who else does that? Canada. And they've been doing it for years. Bob Probert, who used to play defenseman for the Chicago Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings, had a felony cocaine possession conviction here in the States. He could not play in Canada because he had a felony. So for all the Canadian games, you know, Montreal, Winnipeg, Vancouver, and all those, he could not attend the game with the team. All right? So all that being said, you know, again, I know there's people out there that'll be stomping up and down going, that's not fair. You can't, well, you know, again, if it makes people safer, and if we need to tighten our grip on our relationship with China until they start doing something safely, because they have no regulation over there, then by God, so be it. And maybe perhaps, well, oh, we get all this stuff made in China. Well, we can make it here. Whoa, wait a minute. Did you just say something that well? Manufacturing in the United States, American jobs? Are you kidding? Are you out of your mind? I mean, I just think we need to bring it back home and maybe perhaps be a little more critical of our neighbors. Not be combative. It's not my point. But I will tell you this. The next time I'm in the grocery store when all this blows over and somebody is standing right beside me, I'm going to look at them and politely ask them, hey, do you mind just a bit? Because, you know, it does. It leaves a mark. And you know, that's another part of this whole thing that I am fed up with. I am fed up with worrying about what you're doing. Because you guys know me, I don't particularly give a damn what you do. If you want to go out and get your balls laminated so the water rolls off them better, that's fine. Knock yourself out. Just as long as they ain't killing me. If you know, whatever you're doing, fine. You want to touch the stove? As long as it doesn't burn my hand, knock yourself out. All right? But the problem is with this virus now is that I don't know. If you see some guy messing around with a gun, and we've all been there, some friend's got a gun and grab-assing around, playing a fool with it. Hey, guys, look at me. I'm the Oklahoma kid. I don't tell him he's wrong. I don't tackle him. I remove myself from the scene. Why? Because I don't want to get shot. Not on purpose and not on accident. That being said, with this virus, hell, I don't know if you got it or you don't have it. You know, and I'm tired of walking around looking at everybody like they're a potential, you know, and every time somebody gets near me, I have this creepy feeling like, do they have it? Do they not have it? Do they kind of have it? And, yeah, it just, if I thought folks were more responsible, I'd probably feel different. But I've found out how responsible folks are through this whole thing, and it disappoints the hell out of me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's, I'm good with you on the ball. Let's go with this.
Okay.
Y'all know my bias. The civilian world has never failed to freaking disappoint me. You know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You try to be decent to another human being, hold a door for them. And it's amazing. Some people are like, they have a negative reaction because you're being courteous to another human being. All right.
I don't know.
Shit, you'd rush to get in front of me in time. You'll take 10 minutes to park your damn vehicle, but boy, if you won't try to run ahead of somebody somewhere in the damn store.
Yeah, you're right.
Probably won't really run.
That's the truth. Kind of place, you
know. No, I mean, another good example. Me and Rob went to go see the last Star Wars flick. And I might have mentioned this on the show before, but we went to the 09 show because, you know, as you guys know, Rob has his vision issues and that kind of stuff. So we have to kind of get in there early so that way he has a sweet spot where he can see the film. And so we try to get there when the least amount of people are going to be there and plus early just for the sake of him getting the right seat. So anyhow, we go there, and we sit down. just me and Rob. Another couple walks in, and they walk all the way up to the top to the hand job seats, and that's where they sit, right? So out of the 150 seats available in that theater, there's only four taken, all right? So the previews start rolling, and just about that time, here comes these four, I'll use the term large ladies, and they walk in, and where do they sit?
Right in front of you.
The four seats in front of me and Rob. Now, granted, I could see over them. Their heads were in the way. It wasn't like they were, you know, wearing the red hats or anything. But still, there was 150 available seats. Why did they have to sit right in front of me and my son? Now, that being said, what if I was Charles Manson? You know what I mean? What if I was a zombie? What if I was somebody with lesser moral value? And instead of respecting people's personal space and sitting your big rhino ass on the other side of the theater where there are hundreds of available seats, you have to sit ba-bang right there in front of us. And it's that kind of ignorance, it's that kind of complacency that makes me mad. And it also swings me to the other side of things where I'm going, hey, yeah, I guess they do have to lock things up, because otherwise we're all going to die because there's people out there to do this kind of ignorance. So,
Dave, got a question. When that happened, did you kind of wish you could have had a chainsaw and start it and just start moving towards them and see what the hell they would do?
Oh, God, yeah. As a matter of fact, I hit my old classic, well, and of course they didn't flinch, you know, because they're those types of people. But again, you know, there's two types of people in the world. Those who do, those who don't. You go trick-or-treating, there's a bowl of candy that says, please take one. Happy Halloween. And the kid walks up, takes a Butterfinger, puts it in his pumpkin, and eases on down the road. Fat kid behind him, sorry, doesn't have to be a fat kid. It could be any kid at all. Grabs the damn bowl, dumps it in his pumpkin, and puts an empty bowl back up on the thing. There's two types of people in the world. Those who do and those who don't. So, yeah, I admit I am somewhat disappointed in my fellow Americans and their lack of
my fellow Americans. Well, you know what? Yeah. I am dying to say something, and I'm going to interrupt everybody. Dave, you said, what if I were Charles Manson? If you were Charles Manson, you would get on your cell phone, you would call one of your disciples and say, there's a bunch of fat ladies sat down in front of me and my kid in the theater. You know what to do. And then about 45 minutes later, he'd have come in with a couple of knives, and they'd have been on the floor, and then you'd have just been sitting there with your kid watching the film.
Employee of the month. Yep.
Yeah, I just, when the credits started rolling, did you ask them to sing?
I asked them if they were still grieving over the death of Jabba the Hutt.
Did you?
Right.
I don't know, but yeah, I mean, you guys understand my point.
I do.
Another good example, you know, Dale and I, we go out there to the beach, and we do our shell shooting and that kind of stuff, and, you know, she makes her jewelry, and again, social distancing before social distancing was cool. We'd go out there, and that was our getaway from humanity time. And, you know, we wouldn't look at our phones. We'd be out there picking up shells and just walking around enjoying one of those companies. So we went to Fort Macon one morning, right? And this was just, I think January. Went to Fort Macon, very, very foggy day. I mean, to the point where you couldn't see. If you saw 20 feet in front of you, you were doing good, right? We had that entire beach, not a soul out there. And every now and then, somebody would pop up out of the fog. You'd say good morning to them. They'd walk on by. Well, I'm bending over, picking up some shells out of this little shell deposit, and I feel a presence to my left. And there's a particular couple shells that Dale likes to find that she uses for her jewelry and all that. Well, I saw a couple of them. I said, hey, look. Hey, I found a couple of your shells. And I turn around to show them to her, and it wasn't Dale. It was some other woman who was standing close enough to me to make me think that it was my wife. All right? And there was miles, guys, miles of empty beach, an unimaginable amount of shells laying on said beach that she can go look through. But she had to look through the same bit of shells 3 feet away from me. And it's just, you know, and one of the guys at work had said something about, you know, when it comes down to people standing on top of you, he says they just can't break the habit. And I wonder if there's actually a medical condition for it. You know what I mean? Where people feel like they have to stand on
them. I think you mentioned it earlier. Dumbassery.
Dumbassery.
No, yeah. It's I think Dave is cute. That's what the condition is.
Yeah. That's far from it.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, like I said, my frustration level with it is, I don't know. It's actually made me concerned about the future. Whereas I always thought, hey, we're the United States. We're going to be all right because we are the United States. Beginning to think, it won't be nuclear war. It won't be climate change. It won't be plague or the zombies that run the human race off. It'll be us. We will do ourselves in because we ain't got enough damn sense just to use good old-fashioned courtesy and horsing.
No, you're all wrong. It'll be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
that or, oh, yeah, shit. Apparently
Nancy
for
Pelosi.
That cat, it's going to be somebody named Karen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the cutest one of those memes that I saw with that damn cat, usually with Karen or whatever, somebody put Alf over there by the cat. It was hilarious.
Oh, God.
Ah, really?
I miss that show.
Do you?
Yeah, Alf was pretty good, man. I enjoyed that show.
I still use the goggles of mine from the dad. Well, actually, from the script writer, I'm sure, but, you know.
I miss the Twilight Zone. Well, I do. It's
well,
awesome.
You know, and there brings a good topic. You know, to crack open. Let's throw a hypothetical out there. Since I've gone through the trouble of bashing 90% of the American populace, we often talk on here about alien life and all that kind of jazz, right?
Yep.
How much regulation would have to go into effect if, and I'm not going to use the word invaded, let's just say,
visited.
Let's just say Alf comes here and gets on and lands his spaceship right in the middle of Madison Square Garden, okay? And he gets off and he goes, "Hey everybody, how you doing? My name's Alf. I'm from the planet Milimac. I want to learn about your culture. You guys seem to be some wonderful people. I come in peace. Hi, can you show me around your city?" All right.
Well, hold on. Let's start with, if he would have landed in Wuhan, he would have been on a spit.
That's true. He'd have been dinner. There's another bad joke I meant to tell you. You know when they throw the bat symbol up here in the United States and Batman comes? You throw the Batman symbol up in China, it means dinner's ready.
Oh, I like it.
Thank you. Wonderful crowd. I'll be here all week.
Okay. So I'm sorry, you were actually getting to a point before I did that again. All right, so he came in, he said that everybody, you know, he thinks everybody's nice. He goes, so what do you think, people, and what happens next?
People would just complete, you know, without any thought, would walk up to an alien with their children and everything else and go, wow, look, it's an alien. Hi. Wow, neat. Can I shake your hand? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
you know what? I guess it would be one of those moments that I missed kind of the old 80s pigeonholing of people, if you will, because that's when all the Japanese tourists would have their camera out.
Taking all the pictures, yeah. But, I mean, when they cracked open King Tut's tomb back, what was it, 100 years ago now? I mean, it's been a while.
Something, yeah.
Okay. They were wearing face masks because even those guys knew that we're opening a vault that has not been opened in 2,000 years. And there could be germs in that thing that we won't be able to find a cure for because they are 2,000-year-old germs. All right? I hit a little Bill Cosby on that germs. I'm sorry. Okay. Regardless, these guys had the wherewithal to say, this is a danger. I need to watch what I'm doing. I'm going to wear this mask as we open this vault. And here we are, years later, and there's a potential deadly virus out there, and people are just walking freely about like it ain't a damn thing. And it's just, for me, it's just mind-numbing how ridiculous. And, you know how it is with, like, a drunk driver? It's like a drunk driver gets into a wreck with a bunch of his friends, and he's driving, and he's the only one that lives, and all the rest of them die. That's how I picture this whole damn coronavirus thing, that some ding-a-ling who doesn't give a damn goes out and gets it and then walks up to somebody who is doing everything correctly and somehow contracts or spreads it to them. And that's
I mean, that's always that's the, the causal effect routine stuff that's going on. You're expecting that. The let's face it, that's any given day, any given thing. God, do you remember how people reacted early on with HIV?
Oh, yeah.
No, how did they? Tell us.
It was, I'll tell you what, in certain ways, it wasn't far from this. Aside from the government lockdown thing, there were people just freaking, to say the least. It was just, and it went from being an immediate death sentence and all this stuff, and, kind of cool for the medical community, the yardage they've made, because someone like Magic Johnson, HIV positive and all that, when everybody heard that stuff at the beginning, boy, you'd have thought he would have had months to live.
Yeah.
So, our medical community is doing some good stuff.
I remember the whole AIDS thing, man. I mean, because I was just, at the end of my high school years when all that was coming out. And, I mean, you were wondering if it was on toilet seats. You didn't want to drink out of each other's cans anymore. your girlfriend tried to take a bite out of your sandwich. You, like, you know, kicked her in the shin and ran like hell.
Said cooties. And you wouldn't go to the salad bar.
No.
Oh, right.
But that's how that was back then, you know, and none of us knew. And now they've got commercials for some type of, not prevention, but treatment, I guess it is now. They got some HIV treatment that you can take once a day, and it damned if I know. I don't keep up with it that much, but, yeah, I don't know. It's like I said, I'm...
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw it out there. It was one of those things, because before that it was herpes and so on and so forth.
Yeah. I just want it behind me. And I tell you something else I want out of it is I want the damn truth. I am so fed up.
Yeah, those numbers are so fucking gone that I don't think we stand a chance of, I don't know if we get a chance to actually even get close to finding reality at this point. Everything is so freaking skewed.
Yeah. If I was to go into my bathroom tonight and hang myself from the shower curtain rod, okay, they would wheel my dead body into the morgue and the cause of death would be coronavirus.
Yes.
And they would say, oh, well, he hung himself. Yeah, he hung himself because he thought he had coronavirus. So it counts as coronavirus. All right? What nobody's talking about is that the hospitals are granted money for their workload increase via the virus. So if a guy dies in a motorcycle accident, the hospital marks it down as a coronavirus, right? Why? Because there's going to be more money coming their way. So, you know, now, here we are again. You know, I would feel better about what decisions I make if I had the facts in front of me. But I've got nobody telling me the truth. I got inflated numbers. I've got deflated numbers. I got people who overreact. I got people who underreact. I can't get the straight dick on Annie on this.
No, seriously. And we know that there's, and we talked about this before, but we know that if it runs through an old folks home, boy, the mortality rate's going to be horrible. And yes, that's
right.
Horrible, but it's just like when the flu runs through it. It's freaking horrible. It's going to be worse. That stuff is just, it's brutal. So if you have a city of 100,000 people and two old folks' homes get hit, and now your deaths went from 70 in the city to now 140, you know, man, your number skyrocketed. What's going on there? Yeah, that's, you know, I get where, you know, I'd look if the, especially if we had the legit numbers, you would check and see why, but then when you would see those, you would know that it's not, you would know where to focus your efforts and be able to deal with it, for one thing, but you would know that it's not a general populace thing. And I'm curious about this, because this is one thing that I really, because we got a lot of homeless up here in Indianapolis.
Really?
I really have not seen that level of victimization yet. The way they, especially since part of that has been we've had some frigging cold weather, and I know they have better shelters than that. During the warm season, they're out in droves. The winter season, they're definitely thinned out a good bit because they're all in the various shelters and stuff like that. But you think there's a pretty high percentage of drug use amongst them. that kind of stuff. You think that we would have some pretty high numbers getting looked at amongst that community? And I really haven't seen. I get that I don't kill myself to find stuff on this, but I just haven't seen that. I've seen where the virus apparently has ethnic bias, but I haven't seen where it has strictly economy-based bias. Let's go with that.
You mean income bias?
Yes.
No, you're right. And it's also amazing that there's been nothing but male or female deaths. There hasn't been any pansexuals or potsexuals or, you know, all the other sexuals they have out there, the 65 different, the alphabet thing. And for them to try to tie a demographic to it is somebody just stirring the pot. I mean, yes.
Seriously, no, but you would think certain things. See, okay, I'm going to say culturally, in different countries, it's not a big deal to have a really large family in a, with a couple generations, maybe three generations worth, in a fairly small apartment.
That is true.
Okay. So culturally, it's not unheard of. Americans, generally speaking, we like our space. Apparently, New York don't work like that. There's, you get those major crowded cities. That's just the way it is. But you have certain places. Well, that's generally speaking, aside from economic need, an anomaly here. It is, you may have them in a household, and you may have three bedrooms worth of folks doubling up in the bedrooms, but it's still a household. It's not a frickin' one-bedroom or two-bedroom apartment. You know what I'm saying? You can, and they're using everything. They're using the basement, all that stuff with the different houses, all that. It's, and I get North Carolina. We don't have a lot of basements there.
I had a basement.
Eastern North Carolina. Oh, didn't you? But yeah, Eastern North Carolina, not a lot of basements. Just kind of the way it is. But, you would think, the communities that are living like that here, different groups, you'll see them in different levels of apartment complexes and all that here. So I'm surprised I haven't seen more there. You get it amongst that, because there's a bunch of different groups that do that. But the countries that have those high household concentrations, I haven't seen outrageous numbers from them. Just a thought.
No, I would be willing to say partially. Part of that,
excuse me?
I would be willing to say I would credit some of that again to the society's follow through. You know, when they're told by their health agencies, don't do X. They don't do X.
Oh, but X is fun. Dave, X is fun.
And here's another one I threw out there, just another food for thought if you guys get into the argument with somebody. How many of these ass clowns that walk aimlessly through the Walmarts day in and day out, because they're bored, okay? How many of them have walked into a restaurant and saw a 95 on the wall and go, ew, they got a 95. I don't want to eat here. You see what I'm saying?
Then they'll go to Burger King the 84 and say, oh, this is good.
Yeah. I mean, how many of those people, and, you know, Japan is a fantastic. I admire Japan so much because they just genuinely don't give a shit. They, when it comes down to immigration, they say you can visit, but you can't stay. All right? So they don't have.
Or if you are allowed to stay, you can't own.
Correct. So your stay is not forever. That's how they do it. And, you know, but you never hear anybody throwing racist or bigot bombs at the Japanese. All right? When the Japanese says, we're going to close everything down at 10 o'clock. At 9:59, the lights go out. The lock gets turned at 10 o'clock. There's none of this, well, you can't tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. Then, hey, when the tsunamis hit Japan, okay, you know there was not one documented case of looting in that entire country. Farmers took their entire year of crop, their entire livelihood for the year, and donated it to victims of the tsunami. Okay? Wow. Here in the States, they start looting before things go wrong. And then when they
well,
loot,
sure. That's how you get the good stuff, Dave.
Right. They don't loot stuff, water, bread, milk, baby formula, diapers.
Exactly.
They don't loot that. They loot 80-inch screen TVs, sneakers. Of course, none of them loot work boots. But you see my point. And Japan.
Oh, hell yeah. They won't even loot a store that sells work boots.
Yeah, they won't loot them. But the Japanese don't care what people say about them. You know, if there's any type of derisive comment about their willing to blend or willing to accept other cultures, hey, that's the reason why they're as solid as they are. But the
amazing thing is within what appears very rigid, they are amazingly adaptable.
Yes, they are.
Once they associated with the world community, their willingness to learn and utilize things learned is amazing.
Now, was this before or after the transistor radio?
Oh, well,
one of my jokes now.
Let's face it. What was the brand name of your first transistor radio? Just a thought.
Zenith.
It wasn't Zenith. It was.
Well, it sure was. It was mine.
Was
I had it? Yeah.
Ah, damn. Yeah. I want to see it. Yeah, maybe it was.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Let's go with this. How about your first clock radio?
Oh, that probably had to be like a, not Sony, but Toshiba or something like that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
No.
It was, they may have been right, pretty much right behind the transistor radio.
No, it was a short dude who kept winding up the Big Ben alarm clock, and then he'd hit me on the head when it rang. I don't know.
I liked it.
Okay, there you go. Good.
Yeah.
Somebody finally liked one of my jokes. I figured y'all were going to be so smart tonight. I just had to go. Especially when you said nobody had a basement. Well, you didn't let me finish the whole statement. Well, I had a basement, and I lived in Eastern Burke County, where it was like 4,000 feet up. I was in East Burke. But you didn't let me finish.
I was going to say that culverts don't count.
Oh, damn.
No, we had a basement.
Or if we're using Japan, the old school Benjo ditches. for those that know what that is, sorry. The there's an old waste refuse ditch. Man, the you know, that's funny. The
you talking about Hart's Fishing Pond?
You started talking about the little guy hitting you over the head on the alarm and stuff, and all I could think of was that damn joke about that those people touring France and or they're touring. I'm sorry. I'll just leave it alone. They're at the Cathedral of Notre Dame. The damn there's somebody climbing up there ringing the bells. They fall off from the tower. It's a little warped guy, and person goes, "Is that was that the Hunchback in Notre Dame?" "No, but it's a dead ringer."
Yeah, his face rings a bell.
Okay.
But actually, I wanted to. Here we go. You know, this is
now
kind of counterpoint to
God.
It reinforces kind of what Dave said, stuff like that, something we touched on. There's this book that's called The Japan That Can Say No, and it was talking about how after their guilt complex and dealing with the after effects of World War II and, you know, subjugation, stuff like that, and where they become their independent, autonomous, and yet part of the world culture there. There was this story about a place that was making electronic components, and, you know, they have all the business rules trying to keep stuff right, and they would find out that they would have whole batches of stuff that would come out jacked up periodically, and then nobody was figuring it out. Well, one of the guys on the staff turned around and figured it out that it matched the train schedule. And so the impact tremors from the train were causing issues.
Wow.
So what did they do? They built a large ditch network in between them and the tracks, filled it with water, and let that absorb the majority of the issues. But it's the way they somebody there is willing to figure out the problem, sort it out, and come up with an answer. Well, here, you always hear, well, that's the way we always did it.
Yeah, I mean, but again, that is, there was no discussion about it. They found the cause. They came up with a way to counteract it, and they put it into motion. Yeah, here in the United States, we'd be arguing about it for another 100 years, you know?
Oh, yeah. Here, there would, well, you know, if you dig that ditch, you are going to displace how many earthworms?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's going to be some sort of ethnic economic bias. And, and never mind that, much like all those retention ponds that they fill with water, that we've seen how many, not just kids, but adults fishing in.
Yeah.
Creating their own little ecosystems and stuff like that.
By the
absolutely.
Way, I had a thought. This is an important thought. When you were talking about Japanese, the voice said to me, I wonder how many UFO sightings the Japanese have had. And I went to the Japanese.
They have plenty.
No, just listen. In Tokyo, Defense Minister Taro Kono said that self-defense Air Force pilots have never encountered a UFO.
Fascinating.
Well,
but you know what they have? They were the ones that put earthquake lights on the map. You know what I'm talking about?
Not really.
Odd atmospheric effects that they simply call earthquake lights because they always seem to occur
before earthquakes. So there you go, Dr. John. There's one for you to play with, earthquake lights. I can't believe you didn't know about those. I mean, look, Dr. John has a ridiculous wealth of information in his brain housing group. And so if I can slide something like that in on him that he don't know about, I feel like I pulled a coup here.
Well, I don't know, about what kind of earthquake lights you were talking about. I mean, there's several kinds. I mean, there's – you're talking about the aerial phenomena that sometimes occur. Okay, well, you know, I mean, I know what those are, and they have them all the time out in Nevada, and they don't have any earthquakes. They also have them in California, and they have a boatload of earthquakes too. But, you know, that's kind of what I know. But I just thought that was great. You know, no UFOs in Japan. I mean, can you imagine a UFO flying over Tokyo and about half a million people sticking their arm and finger up, earthquake? I mean, not earthquake, UFO, oh my God. Can you imagine that?
Actually, one of the greatest UFO events that I can think of, what about that commercial flight doing the transport from Japan to Alaska and had that encounter with, let's call it a mothership, and there were other ships involved with it? I'll say it. We're talking the 80s.
I was listening to some radio show two nights ago at my friend's house. He's some psychic, and he takes people's questions. And one of the questions was, the other night, I saw a UFO flying over my house. What should I have done? You know what the psychic said? Probably should have gone inside.
or I got two things on that, taking a picture. It's the first thing. And the second thing is, what the hell kind of psychic is he if he doesn't know what his people's questions are?
I can't answer that question. That's what Donna Brazile said about President Barack Obama's endorsement of Joe Biden. The president say this? Well, I can't answer for him. So I can't answer for the psychics. But I thought he good advice. Well, I hope you went inside. It'd be a good thing to do, you know. And then it'd look like something out of Stranger Things or whatever. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's been a long
Joe Biden meme yesterday, though, where it's a picture of him and Obama sitting side by side, and Biden's going, "I think that's a fantastic idea. We should." The minimum age should be 15. And Obama's going, "No, Joe, the minimum wage should be 15.
I like the one where it's supposed to be him and Obama sitting there together. And former President Obama says something supportive. And damn Biden responds, "Thanks, Denzel."
He's the only presidential nominee that can hide his own Easter eggs.
Right.
Because he won't remember where the damn things are at.
Got that. Figured that one out.
Just for the record, Kevin just texted, said his phone issues. So
he's been
you talk about. He's had phone wise. He's been like that old Warren Zevon song, "Bad Luck Streak in Dancing School," man. Just seriously.
Oh, man. Well, gents, it might be time to pass the buck around, because I know I've got to be up here in about another Just shy of 6 hours, but somehow or another, I have to shove a shower and a little bit of laundry tender to back that up. So perhaps.
All right. Well, you know what? It's about that time. So I'm going to say thank you on behalf of Pop Culture Stars to all of y'all, and maybe me a little bit too with my sense of humor tonight. Dave, we know what you're going to do tomorrow. You're going to go help out all the neighbors in the local grocery store and keep them moving through the line and push them apart if they're not 6 feet apart. Is that right?
I'm going to be out there distributing nasty looks and my typical bedside manner to people that just cannot follow simple instructions. So, I'm glad to contribute. And my charming personality and my glaring stare a lot of times is very influential. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you sound like my evil aunt. Okay, great. And Todd, thank you for being here tonight. What are you going to do tomorrow?
Oh, man, I suspect it's going to be another 10 to 12-hour day dealing with work. That's the way it is. I'll be getting up and again, like old Dave at an unearthly hour. And although I admit I've been sleeping in, I don't get up till about 4:30 anymore doing the telework thing. I will be online working by 5:30, and I'm hoping I will be able to be done by 5 or 5:30 p.m. It's just the way it works. I'll be trying to be, oh, God, I know this is going to offend some listeners, a functional member of society.
Ooh, wow, that's deep.
What's that?
I want to give a shout out to, since we're there and we're not necessarily doing our usual give love stuff at the end of the night, but you talked with the wife early yesterday evening, and I told her, man, just go somewhere, get some food, support something local. Then I was like, you know what? Go check out that local Colombian joint there in Jacksonville, North Carolina, Liliana's. She gave them a call, was able to place an order, went over there, and got just all kinds of stuff. So Liliana's, way to go, way to keep fighting a good fight. Love seeing the independent joint still making stuff happen. Gus, she said you looked really tired. So take care of yourself, brother. Just for the record, the wife turned around and hazed me and sent pictures of all the damn food that might as well be a million miles away from.
All right. Well, you still love her anyway, so that's all right. That's all right. And me, I'll say that I'm getting ready to go scope out some cryptocurrency and see if I missed any opportunities today. So
I like it.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. And we'll be back next week. Since I'm the head of the network, we'll be back. Even you, Dave. All right? Have a good one. We'll see you next time on Pop Culture Stars.
Big hugs, everyone. Take care.
Good night,
everybody.
Stay safe.
99.